blessing to me to study this week and to pray you as well. Do continue to pray and pray for the next several weeks. A lot going on right now and behind the scenes and working and getting ready and preparing for the next 2 months that are coming. And if you are not involved in something, please call me and say, "Brother Joel, what can I do?" And I promise you, we have holes everywhere we can use help right now. And we've got a lot going on just in every ministry that we have, from the children to the teens to the ladies to the men to the elderly to the ministry administration and just behind the scenes. So much going on. And if you can help in any way, please let me know. Let me know. And we're excited what the Lord's doing and appreciate your faithfulness too. Appreciate your faithfulness to the house of God and being here. I know many of you are tired. You've been working all day. And I appreciate you coming and being here. Some of you hadn't eaten supper yet. And appreciate you eating spiritual food and then get to go home, get you a bowl of cereal. Amen. Wesley, amen. And good to have y'all here tonight, too. And you pray for Wesley and Anna. They had a real bad accident yesterday in Dothan, and their car was rear-ended, and they're driving a little hatchback, right? They trade your big SUV in. Don't know what it is. Amen. Let's stand together, if you will. I'm glad the Lord protected you, and I'm glad you're here. Keep your Bibles open, if you will, tonight. And excited about us being here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 10. The Bible says this: to another the working of miracles, and to another prophecy. And tonight I want us to look at this spiritual gift of the gift of prophecy. Let's pray together, if you will. Father, help us tonight. Right now, as we get into your word, Jesus, I pray that you will use it in our hearts and in our lives, the Lord, tonight. And I pray that we will be edified, we will be exhorted and comforted tonight through your word, Jesus, that you would use it inside of us. And thank you for loving us. Lord, we do pray for our people tonight and those that are struggling physically and spiritually, and that you will help them tonight. And may Jesus be lifted up. And Lord, I just thank you tonight for the change that you bring into our lives and how different you make us, Lord, when we come to know you as Savior and Lord. And I thank you for working in us and continue that work right now, Jesus, and the hunger that you have put in us, for your word. May it grow tonight. We pray in your name, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, when you think about the gift of prophecy, most people, if you look at your first statement, the word prophecy means to foretell, speak for another, or speak under inspiration. And when you hear the word prophecy or someone is going to prophesy, a lot of people think and their mind runs to someone that is predicting the future. Someone that is predicting the future. But the reality is that is not the only meaning of the word prophesy. And you see it in the New Testament. It is one of these spiritual gifts. The Bible says that God has given to his believers the gift of prophecy. Now, what does it mean when it says that? It means more than just telling the future, but rather it means to speak under inspiration. To speak under inspiration. Now, how do we speak under inspiration? This is what happens. God gives a gift to an individual, and they begin to speak his word under inspiration. It is a calling. It is a gift that God gives unto us and puts in our lives, in individuals' lives. Thus, when an individual speaks God's truth under inspiration, they are prophesying. And when you see that word in the New Testament, it doesn't mean just because someone is preaching and teaching, they're not giving prophecy. Because the prophecy of the word of God is given out by gifts of people as they speak under inspiration. Many have the idea that it only means predicting the future. But I want you to think about this. Look at your next statement with me, if you will. Jonah was a prophet of the Old Testament, but he gave very little prophecy. But he did preach and teach against the sins of Israel and exhorted them, watch this, to repent in their life. And so when you think about this idea of prophecy tonight, your mind can immediately go to, oh, he's going to tell us what's happening in the end times. Boy, wouldn't it be nice to really know who the Antichrist is? Do y'all remember that? Y'all remember a couple years ago, all the conservatives, when Obama became president, he was the Antichrist. Y'all remember that? And going to be the next Antichrist, and it was on the all these spiritual news networks and all that, and how that rolls out. Listen, none of us know the future but God. We know some things the Bible says are going to happen, but the reality is this gift of prophecy tonight is used in declaring the work of God. And so tonight, you say, Brother Joey, how does this gift apply to us as individuals? Understand tonight, the Bible teaches in Ephesians 4:11 and 12, listen to what it says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body of Christ. And tonight, in the midst of God's people, right here in our ministry, we had a meeting today with some men in our church, and just a blessing at lunchtime to talk about the number of individuals, men in our ministry right now, that God has given this gift to preach and to teach His Word. Now, we learned Sunday, too, in Sunday school, not only are men called to teach, but women are too. And you can't take that out of context. You know, the Bible is very clear about the role of women in the church. We studied that Sunday in Sunday school. But the reality is this. Even women, they teach the Word of God. They give it out to our young people. And just last week, I think it was Miss Amanda, was giving the Word out to our young people, our little children, on Wednesday night at SBS. So important, this idea of giving out the Word of God and prophesying or speaking under inspiration to give out the Word of God. So tonight, Brother Joey, if this gift of prophecy is giving out the Word of God under inspiration, then what is the purpose of prophecy? When the Word of God is given out, what is the purpose of it? And then here's the big question tonight as a Christian. What is the profit of it? What does it do in your life? What does preaching and teaching do in my life? When I hear the Word of God, what impact should it have in my life? And I want us to look at these two thoughts tonight. Number one is this. First of all, what is the purpose of the prophecy of God's Word? And to see this, I want you to go with me, if you will, just flip over two chapters to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're in 1 Corinthians 12, where we saw the list of the gift. Now I want you to see it as it's broken down. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, verse number 3, look what the Bible tells us. It says, but to he that, say the word with me if you will, prophesy. Let's do better now. Okay, verse number 3, to he that prophesieth, what speaketh unto men? So when a person is prophesying, 1 Corinthians 14, 3 gives us the purpose of the prophecy of God's Word. It tells us what he's about to do. What is it? Number one, first of all, edification. When you're giving out the Word of God, when you go to Sunday school and your teacher is giving you the Word of God, what is the purpose? Edification. Here's your statement. To strengthen or build up. Literally, the idea of building up a house here. The purpose of edification is to help people understand who God is through the prophecy of His Word. And when people come to church, I want to say this tonight, to Sunday school or Bible study, they should hear the Word of God, and it should edify, watch this, their view of who their God is and the view of Jesus Christ and how it applies to their daily life. Understand tonight, we are not a religion. We are not a religion. We're not a set of rituals. We worship a living God with a living purpose, and we commune with Him in our spirit. If I'm right about that, say amen. We're not worshiping a dead God tonight. And the reality is many of us struggle with this idea of our God being just this set of beliefs, my friend. He's a real purpose. And the prophesying of the Word of God, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, it should build us up or edify us and help us understand who our God is. Number two tonight, not only is it edification, but verse number three says, he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation. Now, if I can, I want to spend a little bit of time here. But Joey, what is exhortation? Because here's what happens. A lot of times, we hear the Word of God and we hear what it says. But we don't hear what it means. And we don't hear what it means to us. And the gift of prophecy, the purpose of it, is beyond just giving us what the Bible says, but what it means and what it means to us. So when the Bible says in verse number 3, he that speaketh, number 1, he does it to edification, but then exhortation. What is exhortation? Look at this statement. It means to urge people to pursue a course of conduct in their life. And you say, Brother Joey, tonight, you mean that when we preach and teach the Word of God, we're to teach people that this is what the Bible says, and this is what you need to be doing in your life. That is the purpose of the gift of prophecy. And until we apply that to our lives, we're not doing our jobs with the Word of God. Now, look what the next thing here. I want you to think about this. The prophecy of His Word should challenge believers to adhere to what the Bible teaches as truth. This is why I want you to think just a moment with me. We have invitations in church. Now watch this. I want to mention this. I want to be honest with you. A lot of times we struggle with this as believers. We look at these altars as negative. Mickey went to the altar. He must not be doing right. It's a sign that he's trying to do right. It said, don't miss this. It's a big difference. But Joy, I don't go to the altar because I don't feel. Why? Does God never speak to you? Never? He never, ever talks to you about anything in your life. So you're perfect. And the reality is we have to be people who respond to God's word. Why? Because he is telling us what we're doing wrong, and we're trying to respond to it in humility. Lord, I need you to help me with this in my life. And this thing of giving out the word is not only edification and building us up and growing us in our knowledge of God, but it's exhorting us to live that life. Go after God. Lord, help me in my life to live this inside of me. And we are to be people who bring people to a decision to follow the Lord in their life. And Joshua, in Joshua chapter number 24, verse number 15, I want you to think. You remember when they were out there, and here's what was going on. Here's what was going on. I want you to think about this. All of them in the same church. You follow me? Same church. And some were following God, and some had got off track. And Joshua got up and said, this is what God wants us to do. Here's what God's word is telling us to do in our life. And then he drew a line in the sand. He said, you do what you want, but for me and my house, we are going to serve the who? Lord. What was he doing? He was exhorting them in their life. He was exhorting them to follow what the word of God said. And the preaching and the teaching of the word of God goes beyond just filling our brains, but it challenges my heart. It challenges my soul. It challenges my own self, as Paul said, to challenge to follow that. But I want to tell you tonight, that is why it is so important to be under the word of God on a weekly basis. And I commend you tonight for your faithfulness. I know some of you tonight, you're here. You just got off work. I think about Jeff this morning. He woke up and had breakfast with his baby girl, been at work all day and just running in and helping tonight. And Wesley back there in his uniform tonight. He didn't even have time to take off his bulletproof vest. Amen. And he's here tonight. But watch this. Many tonight, there's things in your life. Your body's aching. You're hurting. Some of you are recovering from surgeries. But you're here, and I applaud your faithfulness tonight. But why is it so important? Because tonight you need encouragement to follow him. How many of your devil been after you? Amen? Trying to sidetrack you in your life, trying to discourage you, trying to get you down. But remember tonight, you've got the Lord Jesus Christ on your side. You've got the living Lord inside of you. And hey, tonight, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that ain't God trying to discourage you. And you need to know tonight, you're on the winning team. You're on the winning side. And hey, you may not be all you ought to be, but bless God, you're trying. Somebody say amen tonight. And by the way, church, Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembly yourselves together. What does that mean? Don't skip church. Why? As the manner of some is, some are skipping church, but exhorting one another, encouraging one another, so much more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because our Lord is coming back. And I'm telling you tonight, church, I've heard it said all my Christian life. You say, but Joy, you ain't been saved that long. I haven't, but listen, as long as I've been saved, I've heard some of them older preachers say this, that they believe when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back on Sunday night or Wednesday night. He's going to catch some Christians slipping, amen? And I'm telling you tonight, it's coming, baby. Christ is coming for us. He's coming for the church. And when he comes, praise God, I want to be excited that I'm living for him and following him. Somebody say amen. Number one tonight, the purpose of giving the word of God is to edify us. And I want to say, we ought to be learning when we come to church. Dr. Howell said this. He said, preaching is not teaching, but preaching better teach you something. It better teach you one thing, what you're going to do. And the reality is teaching is the same thing. Teaching is the same thing. He's not here tonight, so I can say this, all right? If he's not here, nobody can say you're trying. I'm not buttering up, but watch this. Last week, Ricky taught Sunday school for the first time. And I remember he texted me all these crazy questions. What do you think about verse 10, them angels and them angels and them angels? I said, listen, I ain't got to verse 10 yet. When I get there, I'll let you know. And I'm like, it's just Monday, amen? Give me the Wednesday. But I remember on Thursday, he said, listen, you think you could print my notes out for me? I said, man, you got notes? He said, I ain't got notes. I got student notes too, amen? He had just gotten fully. And I said, you send it to me. Give me your email, and I'm going to send you my notes, just a breakdown of my notes so you can read and maybe some thoughts or things. I looked at his notes and I read through his notes, and right at the beginning of his notes, he nailed 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Today we're going to talk about what the woman's role in the church is. And I said, I'm not emailing him anything. He's got it. He nailed it. He nailed the theme. This is what these verses are teaching. This is what these verses are giving out. And as he began going through those notes, the reality is though in our minds, when we give the Word of God, when we preach the Word of God, when we teach the Word of God, it is to be under inspiration. Why? Because we are edifying, we're building up, and we're exhorting. Hey, let's follow our Christ. But number 3-9, I love this part about this. Verse number 3 says this, but he that prophesies speaking unto men to edification, to exhortation. And watch this third part. And comfort. And comfort. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Here's what I mean. To preach or teach words of comfort to the hurting or bereaved heart. And God's word tonight is a healing agent for the believer's soul. The Spirit takes it and applies it to the hurting hearts. And you don't have to know the needs of people. But I want to say tonight, oh, to us tonight that teach the word of God on this property. Please, you say, Brother Joe, I'm just young. I'm just a little Christian. And I'm just in Awana sharing. Or listen tonight. You don't know what those little kids are going through. But you hold a living book tonight that is from heaven. This is not from earth. This is from heaven tonight. It's inspired by an almighty God that knows the hearts. And you get up in that little class and you give the word to those kids. You give it to those young people. You give it to the men and women. Why? Because you don't know God can take his word and he can apply it to their hearts. And he can meet needs of hearts. Why? Because you are giving out the word of God. Somebody say amen. I'm excited about it. Number one, that's the purpose. Number two tonight, Brother Joey, what does a person speaking under inspiration, preaching or teaching or sharing the word of God in my life, what should it do in my life? What should it do inside of me? And to see this, I want you to go with me to 2 Timothy. What is the purpose of the word? I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now we're in 1 Corinthians. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and then Timothy. I love going through that. I'm glad we got people in this church that need to hear us where to find it. Amen. I'm glad we got people need to hear us where to find it. Amen. That means, hey, we're winning people. How many believe the devil don't like that? That's right. Hey, ain't nobody gets no madder when a soul gets saved and a person gets baptized than when the devil. He says, man, I can't stand that church. I can't stand them women in that church. I'm a target on why. I can't stand those men. They're invading my territory. But too late because they've been dipped in the blood. Amen. And life change. Oh, move on. I don't get distracted. Watch this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Watch this tonight. It may not encourage you, but I love it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Look what the Bible says. Now watch this. Say the first word with me. I love this about the Bible. Here's what I love about the Bible. The Bible speaks for itself. So God's getting ready to say something. He says this. All, everything I'm getting ready to tell you, all what? Look at it. All Scripture is given by inspiration of who? What does that mean, Brother Joey? Here's what it means. No Scripture was given by private interpretation. Here's what that means. There wasn't a man over there in a corner somewhere, pay attention to this, saying here's what God, here's what people need to know. No Scripture was given by private interpretation. In other words, there wasn't a man somewhere follow this right here, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Muslims. There wasn't a man over there hiding in a cave getting a new revelation, a private interpretation. But all men that wrote the Bible, the authors, were moved upon by God. And we have all Scriptures given by inspiration of God. And when we read Timothy tonight, when we read Corinthians tonight, that is an inspired book as God came on Paul and said, Paul, I want to give my words to my people through you. And Paul didn't write this book. God wrote this book. You see it? Say amen. Big difference. You say, Brother Joy, somebody knocks on my door and says, hey, I need to give you, there's another book. Yes, you need the Bible, but you need this book to understand the Bible. No, sir, I don't need any book but the Bible. Why? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration to God, and it came from God. This book in your lap tonight, that thing is inspired from heaven. It don't need to be retranslated. It don't need to be redone and rebound. It needs to be visited, baby. We need to get in the book. Why? Because it's given by God. But why did God give us the Bible? And listen, Why does he give people in the church with the gifts of prophecy and the ability to teach the Word of God and to preach the Word of God? Why does he do that tonight? I want you to look at this statement tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 3:16, it tells us how the Word given out works in our lives and its purpose. Number one tonight. First of all, what does it do in our life? It gives us doctrine. What is that? That lets us know what to believe. What to believe? Lets us know what to believe. And I want to say this tonight. The Bible for us is written, and it is written in sections. Much of the New Testament is written in segments and is given to us on text and issues and topics. And we need to know what the Bible says. Why? Because it gives guidance to belief in any area tonight. Now watch this. In every Christian's life, please stay with me on this. In every Christian's life, there's two things that you want to believe. Number one, you're tempted, and I'm tempted, to believe what I think. Here's how I feel. Here's the problem. My feelings have messed me up a lot. How many of you be honest now? There's no kid. Well, there's one little beautiful little girl in here tonight, but watch this. You remember back when you were in high school, and junior, and elementary? How many of you almost married the wrong person 10 times? I'm going to marry them. She took my glue in kindergarten class. That's my wife. And then in 9th grade, you had Mr. Wright. And then in 10th grade and 11th grade, you remember that going through all those years? And, hey, what happened? Your feelings will mess you up. But I'm glad tonight, and we're tempted to live off feelings, but listen to me. What we need to believe is find out what this says and do it. There's no other way. There's no other way. There is no other way about life than what this book right here teaches. And if there's a problem in my life tonight, we're coming to it. But this book will let me know what it is. It'll let me know what it is. And I've even heard people say this before. I've heard this. I don't understand that. Listen, whatever it says, it says. And whatever it says is doctrine, is what we are supposed to believe. We are supposed to believe what the Bible teaches, and that's what doctrine is. What does the truth say? And what we believe tonight has to come from the Bible. And I want to say tonight, when we are under preaching and teaching, it is so important that we understand that we are helping those people that are getting started, and the Sunday school teachers we have at our church, training them to teach the Word of God. Why are programs like Awana so important to us? This is why. Because it is preparing people and equipping them to teach the Word of God, not as they think, but as it is written, giving it out to us. Why? Because doctrine, what we believe, is so important. It is so important, and everything has got to come from the Bible, not some vision we had. Somebody say amen right there. Number one tonight is profitable for doctrine, but then he also says this, 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Now, what is reproof? Here it is. Reproof is what is wrong or identifying sin in your life. And I want to tell you tonight, preaching and teaching should name sin. Somebody please say amen. Let me know you believe that. It should name sin. Call it out. Why? Because the Bible calls it out. But here's what I'm learning. I don't like when my sin gets called out by an inspired speaker. I don't like it. You know why? Because it threatens me. I can't do what I want. I want to share this with you. One of the first times in my life that I really learned, and it was the beginning of my marriage, beginning of my life, that I really learned what it meant to allow God's Word to teach me how to live. I remember me and Miss Bridget, when I got married, I told her something last Sunday, was talking about the role of women in church and how all that goes in our lives and our homes and what all that means. And me and Miss Bridget grew up in total different homes. I grew up in a home without a steady woman. And let me tell you what I mean by that. When I was a little kid, my mama died. Then my dad remarried, then divorced, then remarried, and another one come in. And then now, and I was a teenager. I was a teenager already formed in my life, my beliefs. Almost 90% of my beliefs had already been formed by the time my stepmama came into my life. Thus, most of my life, I lived without a woman, and I never saw modeled how a man should treat a woman. So my philosophy on a wife came from Bible College Chapel. And that's dangerous. Because most men, when they come in that college chapel, they're going to say a bunch of stuff that they know ain't right, and they only lead it home because their wife lets them. Amen. And I'm telling you, I had that idea. I had a warped view of submission. And I remember one day me and Miss Bridget getting into it. And I remember telling her. I just told her what I thought. That's so ungodly. You can't find your attitude in the Bible right now. I remember her start crying and went to the other side of the house and watched this day. And I remember me getting ready to walk out my house and God said, "What are you going to do, big boy?" And I started arguing with God. She's wrong. She did wrong, not me. And God said, "Are you the leader or not? You go say I'm sorry." And I want to tell you, that was a challenge to me because up to that point, I'd never been the first one to say I was sorry. I'd argue until she broke. But I learned that day. God taught me through his word. Why? This is why. You ready? Husbands, you start it. Love your wives. It ain't a feeling thing and it runs through your body. You put her first. You lead. You really are a leader. You go lead. And you apologize. And I'm telling you, boy, it struck hit me, but it came from the word of God. It wasn't some vision somewhere. It was something I was studying that week in my life. And God was trying to teach me how to be a husband to my wife. And Lord, I'm still not learning it, but God knows I'm trying tonight. But the reality is this thing of reproof. The Bible gives me my doctrine, what to believe. Reproof what's wrong in my life tonight. And I'll tell you this tonight. You get in this book and you get it by yourself, or you get in a Sunday school class, you get in a Bible study, a sermon somewhere, and you hear the word of God, it'll show you what's wrong in your life. Somebody say amen tonight. Number three, watch this. Don't miss this. Number one, doctrine. Number two, reproof. And then he says, for correction. Now, what is correction? How sin is fixed in a biblical way. Boy, I can't wait for Sunday. What? Let me tell you this. Being sorry for my sin is not repentance. It's the beginning of repentance. Don't miss this. Just because I did something wrong and got caught, or it slipped up, my wife's mad at me, just because that what happened does not mean I have repented. And understand tonight, repentance involves a forsaking of what I just did. A forsaking of how I have hurt God in my life. Now watch this, in my life, this idea of correction and fixing in a biblical way, I want you to think just a moment. For every failure of sin in our lives, the Bible has a fix. For every failure of sin in my life, the Bible has a fix. What do you mean, Brother Joey? Sunday I'm studying for repentance, and in Acts chapter number 17, watch this. The Apostle Paul, he's standing there, and he's preaching to them against idolatry. And he's saying, hey, you're not worshiping the Lord Christ. You're worshiping these man-made statues. You're worshiping these things on the wall. You're not worshiping the Lord Christ. You're worshiping planets and stars. You're not worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said this, repent. And then the Bible says, not only did they weep and ask God to forgive them, but they crushed those idols. They got them out of their life. Now, what did he do? He not only told them what was wrong, but he told them how to fix it in their life. And for every sin failure in my life, there is a Bible answer of how it can be fixed in my life. Thus, just a little bit ago, for me to be right with my wife, it ain't enough for me to bow my head and say, baby, I'm sorry. Or say, God, I'm sorry. I've got to go apologize to her. Why? Because she is the one that I offended in my life. And I want to tell you, why don't we do that, Brother Joey? You ready for this? Because it's humbling. It's humbling for me to go to Ronnie Pelham. Say, Brother Ronnie, I ain't going to lie to you. God's been killing me. And I want to ask you two things. Number one, I want to ask you to pray for me. Number two, I want to ask you to forgive me because I've been chewing you behind your back. I've been chewing you up and spitting you out. And I ask God to forgive me, and I'm asking you. you to forgive me. You know what you just did? You brought yourself to the bottom of the barrel and you sought for forgiveness from God and from your fellow man. I tell you what that'll do. That'll let that man know you're saved, and he'll also gain respect that you want to be right with God. But it'll also teach us, stay away from that sin. You stay away from that. When you feel it coming up in your mind, getting ready to run out to your mouth, you catch it, as the proverb says. Why? Because you know this is harmful to an individual in my own life. And then the Bible, understands, the Bible does not just give me doctrine what to believe, reproof what is wrong, but it gives me correction how to fix it in my life. And every sin failure, there is a Bible answer of how to fix it. Now, number four tonight, boy, I love this. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, what we believe, reproof, what's wrong, correction, how to fix it, and instruction in righteousness. How to stay on track spiritually. How to stay on track spiritually. Boy, in John chapter 8, verse 11, after Jesus confronted an individual about their sin, he told them, when before they left, he said, listen, go and sin no more. Why? Because he was teaching them, this is how you stay away from that sin in your life. And I want to say the Word of God is a complete Bible. The Word of God is not there just to point out sin in my life. It's there to help me and to fix it and to get down in my life tonight. And church, please listen to this before we move on to our conclusion. And we'll be done early tonight. But if you're still with me, say amen. We have got to learn how to do this. And I'll tell you why. Because we are living in an age where people are so bound by things in their life. They're so bound by things in their life that when they get saved, they have got all kind of strongholds that have got to be broken in their life. And listen to me, here's the answer. And they've got to have somebody that will get this book and put in their life how you can have victory in your life. Now, if they don't respond to it, that's their failure. But they have to have someone share with them how the Word of God says you can have victory in this in your life. And this thing of correction is showing us how to fix it, but instruction in righteousness is showing us how to live in ways that please God in our life. And the Word of God is the answer in that. And church, listen, tonight we've got to pray for this. You've got to continue to get involved in this. Why? Because when people get saved, they most of the times there's so much going on and they need the help of the Lord. Brother Joy Knight, what does all this mean to me? How do I get the most out of prophecy in my life? I want to give you these three thoughts and we'll be done. You can jot them down. Because I don't think they're in your notes, but don't you jot them down. Number one, here it is. Prepare. You make sure that you're reading. You're doing everything you can. You're taking notes, etc. in your life. Why? Because you are a student of the Word of God. And I challenge you tonight. I challenge you. We talked about this with Ricky and Luann, something we're going to do with the young people, and Brother Wayne and with Dewana and Journey with the young people. But we're going to challenge them not to be people just at church, but take the Word of God, take it down, apply it, understand it, write it down. Why? Because we're teaching them, prepare yourself. And I want to tell you tonight, Sunday, when you come to Sunday school, you're going to walk into a class with a teacher prayerfully that has studied and prayed and prepared all week long. I'm going to tell you what's helped you. You had studied. You had read, and you've prayed all week long. And you're going to have questions. You're going to have input. Why? Because you have prepared your heart. That's why our church, listen, them little devotional books we give out to our people, whether you like the depth or you like the scholar, them things are $6 a piece. We give them to our people. Why has our church done that for 20-something years? Because we're trying to help prepare our people to grow by the Word of God. And we have to take advantage of it, prepare our hearts. Number two, here's the second way you can get the most out of prophecy. Not only prepare, you be in the Word yourself, but number two, pray. By the way, on prepare, here's what I've learned. If I will read all week long, and if I will study all week long, and I'll read my Bible every day, when I go to a church service, and listen, I ain't been a pastor my whole life, but most services I'd go to, what the preacher was preaching on, somehow would relate to my life that week. Why? Because I was in the Word of God, and I'm telling you, Christian, prepare yourself, be in the Word. Number two, pray. You pray for those who are responsible to preach and teach the Word in your life. I'll tell you tonight, we need this. We need this. Your Sunday school, you need to be praying for them. Why? Because it is such a daunting task. They have to speak under inspiration because they're given out there to edify and exhort and comfort. They need your prayers. A practice I've made in the last several weeks of my life
Scott will tell you every week, I'm praying for you. You're studying? You ready? Why? Because he needs that. And my kids, I get them together. Titus, you pray for Brother Scott tonight. JJ, you pray for your teacher. Why? Because they need to be praying for them. And listen, your Sunday school teacher, pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. They need the Lord's help. They need your prayers. And then number three tonight, number one, prepare yourself. Number two, you pray. And then number three, you be practical. Take what we get and apply it to our lives. When you hear the word of God in your life, when you hear the word of God, church, you take it home. And I pray all week. And in my preaching and teaching, Lord, help me to make it simple. There may be people that don't like this or don't like that, but God, I pray they can walk out with one thought and they can learn one thing in church to change their life, but apply it to your life. Why? Because we're not called just to be hearers, but we're called to be doers of the word. Does that make sense? Amen. Tonight, and my prayer is, I'm challenging you tonight. Be a Christian of the word. And you pray for those of us who preach and teach the word of God that we will speak under inspiration the word of Proverbs. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. We do. I'm going to ask Brother Mickey if you